Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us this morning is Michael Cardo. He's a South African author and politician serving as the Shadow Minister of Employment and Labour since June 2019. Michael, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
A great pleasure. So tell us, first of all, I mean, you are launching a book. Has it been launched, actually?
It has. The book's been out since the middle of April, and
right.
We've had one or two launches already, but there will be another launch on Monday night at the South African Jewish Museum in Cape Town.
Okay, cool. So tell us about, well, first of all, tell us about what made you write this book. It is about Harry Oppenheimer. Has this always been an interest of yours?
Well, my background is in the study of South African history, and I have always liked biography as a medium. My first book was a biography of Peter Brown, who was a leader and founder of the South African Liberal Party in the 1950s. So I have an interest in the history of South African liberalism. And Harry Oppenheimer appealed to me as a subject because he is such a towering figure in South African history. His life spans the whole of the 20th century, and he was so intimately involved in so many aspects of South African history, politically, economically. He also had large press interests. He was a philanthropist of note. And it just seemed to me that his particular life story was worth telling for the light it would shed on the history of South Africa's economic development and political economy, in addition to being such an interesting story in its own right.
What's fascinating to me is that we don't have more about Harry Oppenheimer, that one would think that given his influence and given his the role that he played in shaping South Africa's mining industry, other industries, and, as you say, economy, that he isn't better known. And, you know, why do you think that is?
Well, there is one dual biography written of Harry Oppenheimer and his father, Sir Ernest, which was published a very long time ago in 1973. And I think part of the reason is that the Oppenheimer family traditionally has been quite private, and I know that they wanted some time to pass after Harry Oppenheimer's death in 2000 before a book was written about him. Look, one of the great advantages I enjoyed in researching and writing this book was that I had unrestricted access to all the papers kept at the Brenthurst Library, which was a library on the Oppenheimer family estate in Johannesburg, and it houses all the family papers. So not only Harry Oppenheimer's papers, which includes all his letters, his diaries, spanning his whole life, you know, his letters as a schoolboy. He went to school in England to Charterhouse, and he would write letters home to his parents every week. And all his papers are kept there. And in addition to his papers are Sir Ernest Oppenheimer's papers, Harry Oppenheimer's mother's papers, all the family papers in there. And I really had a huge amount of primary source material to work off. And no other researcher has been granted full access to those papers before. So that probably partly explains why there hasn't been a biography of Harry Oppenheimer before the one that I produced.
So I'm assuming from what you're saying that the family were very supportive of the book that you wrote or were writing. Were you given the ability just to write whatever you want, or did you have to have it verified by them?
So the book was undertaken with the cooperation and authorization of the family. I had a few meetings with them before I embarked on the project, but it was very clear from the outset that this was always going to be my book. You know, I distinctly recall the words of Jonathan Oppenheimer, Harry Oppenheimer's grandson. He said, you know, we don't expect a hagiography, and because I'm a trained historian and because I wanted to produce a fully rounded portrait, that was never the sort of book that I set out to write. I wanted to write a critical biography. And the fans were extremely cooperative. I met on several occasions with both Harry Oppenheimer's daughter, Mary Slack, and his son, Nicky
right.
Oppenheimer,
yes.
as well as all the grandchildren. And that helped me because I had access to all the material in the Brenthurst Library, but obviously they also gave the go-ahead to other family members and to close business associates of Harry Oppenheimer's to let them know that, you know, this project had the blessing of the family. Feel free to speak to Michael Carter. And that really was a massive advantage for me because had I not had that, I would have been entirely reliant on secondary sources, on newspaper articles. And that being the case, I don't think I would have been able to produce as intimate and as vivid a portrait as the one that hopefully I have produced because I was able to access also Bridget Oppenheimer's materials. Mm. Bridget Oppenheimer was Harry Oppenheimer's wife. She kept, for example, menus of every meal that was ever served at Brenthurst over the course of her marriage. She married Harry in 1943. And, you know, they would host these very elaborate dinner parties at Brenthurst two or three times a week where the great and the good, not only locally Amazing. But internationally, would arrive. And there was all sorts of fascinating social and cultural history to be found in Bridget Oppenheimer's papers too.
The Jewish connection, that's obviously something that keeps coming up. We know that Ernest's relationship with Judaism wasn't a simple one. Was Harry connected at all to his original heritage?
He was, you know. So in the papers at the Brenthurst Library, I found all sorts of interesting documentation, including Harry's birth certificate, as well as his parents' marriage certificate. So Harry's parents, Ernest and May, were married in London in 1906, according to Jewish rites.
Right.
And this was before they settled permanently in Kimberley.
Right.
And I came across their marriage certificate, which was issued by the West London Synagogue of British Jews. And, you know, the first decade of Harry's life, he was born in Kimberley in 1908. The family had to flee Kimberley in 1915 during the First World War after the sinking of the Lusitania. Then their German surname did not endear the family to the townsfolk of Kimberley. But for the first
right.
7 years of HFO's life, you know, his Jewish networks and his Jewish heritage were extremely important. They were members of the Kimberley Shul. And it was only towards, I think, his teens when he went to school at Charterhouse in the UK, which probably wasn't a school in the typical English public school tradition that was particularly Philo-Semitic. And then Ernest Oppenheimer's conversion took place in the 1930s after a series of tragedies. So he lost his wife, May, that's Harry's mother,
right.
in 1934. Harry's brother, Frank, died, a fairly young man at the age of 25. Anyway, so Sir Ernest Oppenheimer went through a sort of crisis of faith, and he ended up converting to Anglicanism in 1935. There was a vexed question of whether Harry had a bar mitzvah or not. So it's sort
yes.
of kind of folklore that he did have a bar mitzvah at the Kimberley Shul, but that actually isn't true.
Oh, that's so funny, because that is one of those things that he had
yeah.
a bar mitzvah and then they wanted to take it down, take down the commemoration. Is that none of that true?
No, that's true. I checked thoroughly with Rabbi Silberhofst about that.
Right.
But the fact is that the family left Kimberley in 1915 when Harry was 6 going on 7. They never lived there permanently again.
Mm.
That story about the plaque at the Kimberley Shul being taken down at Harry's request is entirely untrue. It's an apocryphal story.
That's a lovely story, but just untrue.
Yes, but it's just not true.
Right. Yes.
And the interesting thing, you know, was that I came across a baptism certificate for Harry's brother Frank, also in the Brenthurst Library papers. That's dated 1919.
Right.
And he was baptized in an Anglican parish church in the UK, in London, in 1919. Now, there's no equivalent record for Harry Oppenheimer, but I would find it very strange
if he didn't, yeah.
that he wouldn't have been baptized at the same time as his brother.
Absolutely fascinating. Michael, we are out of time. Really, really an interesting conversation. Just tell us very quickly where the book launch is taking place, and then obviously for Johannesburg listeners, where we can get hold of the book.
So the book is available at all good bookstores near you.
Okay.
And
that's
I'll
nice
be launching the book at the South African Jewish Museum in Cape Town on Monday the 26th of June at 6 p.m.
Okay, absolutely fantastic. Good luck with it, and well done for this incredible research. I look forward to reading it. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.